Podfic recording of Waylaid at Midway by Too Much Plore. It's read by MyFic. The author's note says, the rating so much NC-17, it's like NC-28 or NC-34. Possibly I'm too young to read this. And the summary is a story in which there is a lot of nudity. Sparktastic prompted it, and I wrote it. This is seriously, seriously the most crass thing I've written, and it was way too much fun, so I blame Strikeout, thank her entirely. Also, I may have kind of written this in a church, but in the office, which makes it okay, right? Waylaid at Midway by Too Much Plore. Are you sure there aren't any cameras in here? Asked Shepherd edgily, eyeing the metal-lined shell of the Midway station. The floor of the station was laden with pallet after pallet of supplies, loaded there by a dozen Marines, and left to wait out the 48-hour quarantine before the Atlantis Marines could come and begin ferrying them back to base. Rodney felt a little dizzy with greed surveying the riches around them. Coffee, real coffee, brand new socks, and one whole pallet of new computers for his department, and... What? Frowned Rodney, when Shepherd poked his arm hard. Oh, yes, no cameras. That is, there are cameras, but they're trained on the key control consoles, and they only record intermittently because they're motion-sensitive. There aren't any cameras on the living quarters end of the station. He tore his gaze away from the coffee pallet in time to see Shepherd skimming his T-shirt off. Oh, Rodney said appreciatively. Are we doing that now? Excellent. It had been a gruelling two-week debrief back on Earth, the sort of torturous bureaucratic exercise in pain that came along at regular intervals. Stuck in meeting upon meeting, Rodney and Shepherd had mostly only seen each other in passing, in the hallways or in public over their mess trays. While Shepherd was holed up with IOA representatives explaining why all their military casualties had been Dutch in the last quarter, because the Dutch are particularly tasty to Wraith, Rodney had suggested to Shepherd over dinner the first day. Because I hate the Dutch and want them to die horribly, returned Shepherd, exhausted and defeated by the vagaries of fate. Rodney himself had been shouting at the morons who were busy destroying every valuable piece of ancient equipment he'd sent from Atlantis. Apparently with Sam Carter's defection to Atlantis, the average IQ of the SGC had dropped into the subnormal range. Yesterday, they'd caught 2.7 minutes alone, sort of, in one of the SGC labs, during which time they'd been completely unable to touch each other due to the surveillance cameras all around. But they'd had enough privacy and foresight to have the following important conversation. Oh my God, I'm so horny, Rodney had said, trying to look like he was talking about the ancient data on his computer. He'd thrown in some emphatic hand gestures at the screen for realism. You're telling me, Shepherd had answered, slouching and feigning boredom. Last night I had a wet dream for the first time since the 1980s. He'd scrunched up his face then, forgetting to hide his real expression. It was weird. I think Woolsey was in it. Right, we have 2 days at Midway, Rodney had said, once he'd managed to hide his horror and disgust and could turn away from his computer screen. You have time to get off base and pick up supplies? Yeah, Shepherd had answered, a little too breathily, eyes going all pupil. I mean, 2 days? Just us? They're sending the fresh meat via the Apollo, Rodney had said, turning away again so the camera couldn't catch his own interest. More time for watching those videos on how to avoid getting eaten by enemy races. Anyway, it means it'll just be us babysitting the supplies through the Midway quarantine. Plenty of time for, you know. Affirmative, Shepherd had said. And Rodney was about to mock him for going all military when he was turned on, when he realised Shepherd was talking into his headset. Be right there. Shepherd had pulled a face at Rodney. This is where I'd slap your ass on my way out if we were back home. And Rodney had pulled one of his own in return. Yes, I'm so sorry to be missing out on that charming ritual. And Shepherd had left the lab. Supplies, Shepherd crowed now, digging inside his duffel and emerging triumphant with a fresh economy-sized bottle of lube and an impressively large box of condoms. This should hold us for a while, he said with deep satisfaction, and tossed both items at Rodney so he could wriggle out of his pants. He inclined his head towards the military bunks at the far end of the Midway station. Shall we? Rodney's brain was jostled offline as he watched Shepherd's hairy but shapely ass sauntering away from him. Luckily, his body seemed to do quite well in his brain's absence, because when Rodney lurched back into awareness, he was naked and twined around Shepherd on the narrow cot, kissing the hell out of him. Okay, said Shepherd. I had a lot of time to think about this while Woolsey was yammering on. Rodney freed one hand so he could snap his fingers and point in Shepherd's face, which is totally how you ended up having disturbing sex dreams about the man, you idiot. Anyway, if it's not too much trouble, Shepard said more loudly and pointedly, I'd kind of like you to fuck me. Rodney nodded vigorously, reaching down to cup Shepard's buttocks and haul him closer. I could really do that for you, he said, and his brain skidded off its tracks again. Something's wrong here, was the next sentence Rodney registered. Rodney closed his mouth, which had been panting, wide open, and opened his eyes, looking down his body to where Shepard was straddling Rodney's knees and frowning down at Rodney's dick. Rodney's dick, which had a mostly rolled condom perched on its head like a jaunty beret. Is it inside out? Rodney asked, reaching down to check. Yeah, because I don't know how to work a condom, Shepard sniped and batted Rodney's hand away. He lifted the condom up and squinted at it. Oh, shit. What? Asked Rodney. What, does it have a hole? Just get another one. Get it on me. Let's go. No hole, said Shepard, and tried to fit the condom over Rodney's cock again. Ow, stop that! Jesus! It feels like you're trying to put my dick in the finger of a latex glove, Rodney objected. Why does it feel like that? He blinked hard and forced some blood back into his brain with some effort. Oh, shit. Did you buy the tiny dick condoms? No, said Shepard, slapping around the cot for the discarded wrapper. No, see, it's the regular kind. It says... Oh. Rodney snatched the wrapper out of Shepard's hand and read the print for himself. Snug fit, he said despondently. Are they all the same? Shepard leaned over the edge of the cot and pulled a strip of condoms out of the box. Motherfucker, he said. Maybe it'd fit you, Rodney suggested, lifting an eyebrow, and Shepard scowled and slapped Rodney across the face with the tiny condom. Rodney squawked in protest and a minor scuffle ensued, which ended with Rodney pinned on his stomach and Shepard grinding hard into the cleft of Rodney's ass. Oh, fuck, Shepard gasped. No, can I just... No, said Rodney firmly, still angry. I don't do bareback with the illiterate. I was in a hurry, you asshole, Shepard snapped, collapsing down onto Rodney's back. He sighed, all the fight going out of him. Fuck. Fuck. Hand job, suggested Rodney, because his cock was pressed between his stomach and the mattress, and it wasn't getting the no-sex message at all. Judging from the hot, hard length of Shepard against his back, neither was Shepard's cock. Shepard made a disgusted noise and shifted lazily. I guess if we have to. Your enthusiasm is incredibly sexy, said Rodney in a dry tone. Well, I just... Shepard pouted and rolled off of Rodney, sitting at the edge of the cot. He squirmed unhappily. My ass is all slippery already. It feels gross. Sure that you got lube and not hand sanitizer? Rodney asked caustically. They look so much alike on the shelf. Shepard curled his lip and grimaced sarcastically. Here, I'll put my fingers up your ass while I jerk you off, Rodney offered lamely, rolling onto his side and propping his head up on his palm. Nah, sighed Shepard, slouching. Well, what else is there in here? Rodney asked, looking around the station at the loaded pallets. There has to be something dick-shaped that's small enough for the tiny condoms. He studied the nearest crates. What about an emergency candle? Or a carrot? You are not sticking a candle up my ass, Shepard said darkly. Or a carrot. Oh, like you're so picky about what goes up there, Colonel. Here, use this tuber on M4X596, Rodney returned acidly. That was one time, Shepard protested, and I was all high on that weird corn salad stuff. Oh, hey, Rodney said, disregarding Shepard's blatant and somewhat pathetic lie in favour of sharing his latest brainwave. The medical supplies. Keller's going to have a huge box of condoms. Normal human-sized condoms. No good, said Shepard, shaking his head. It's all sealed up and inventoried and signed. They'd notice if we ripped the box open. Well, fuck, said Rodney, heartfelt. If only, Shepard said and squirmed again. Are you sure we can't? No, said Rodney, firmly, primly. I told you right from the beginning, I don't put my dick into that place, in there, without some kind of barrier. And neither should you. You could get an E. coli infection on your penis. Rodney, cajoled Shepard, shifting so he could smile winningly at Rodney. That's really rare. One time won't hurt. We're both clean. We're monogamous. It'll feel amazing. Oh my God, I'm trapped in a space station with an after-school special character. Rodney groaned and flopped back on the bed. Promise I won't get you pregnant, Shepard said, getting into it now. And you can't get pregnant the first time anyway, baby. He leaned over onto one hip and draped his torso over Rodney's, rubbing his chest wantonly against him. Said Rodney, brain going offline one last time. He blinked and came back to himself. No, I said no, you skanky-ass bandit. Damn it, said Shepard finally, hearing the finality in Rodney's tone and giving up. They both moped around naked for a while after that, the environmental controls cranked high enough to make it comfortable, and both of them too moody and disappointed to bother getting dressed. Bet I could make a better slingshot out of these than you, Rodney said, opening a couple of the useless condoms. Bet you couldn't, Shepherd answered, perking up. Ha, I so could, Rodney crowed, and began working. I bet you can't, said Shepherd, opening a couple of packets now, and if I win, you have to do me bareback. You want me to stake my future sexual health and perfect unscarred penis on my ability to make a better slingshot than you out of tiny condoms? Rodney asked, just to be clear. Chicken shit? Shepherd asked, lifting an eyebrow. You're on, said Rodney. And if I win, then I get to put a candle up your ass. You got it, said Shepherd, shrugging, and they both bent over their work. Half an hour later, they set up a series of distance marks with masking tape and rooted through their duffel bags for appropriate ammunition. They settled on using some of Rodney's Werther's candy stash, on the condition that Rodney got to eat all the ammo after the contest ended. Best average distance over 3 shots, said Shepherd, who'd only grudgingly agreed to a contest of power over accuracy when Rodney had pointed out that Rodney couldn't hit even a big target with the best slingshot in the universe. Shepherd scrambled back from the last tape mark on all fours, still naked, his ass jostling prettily in the darkened shadow of his balls swinging underneath. What? Said Rodney, and closed his mouth. Yeah, but no fair distracting me with your equipment. What? Said Shepherd, then looked down and grinned, apparently having forgotten he was naked. Oh, am I distracting you? He said, and settled with his legs spread enough so that Rodney could see the faint glistening of the lube still round his hole. 5 minute time out, Rodney shouted. My team needs time to get the blood back into critical faculties. Take all the time you need, said Shepherd generously, and fired his 3 shots off in rapid succession. Wow, said Rodney, blinking at the scattered gold-wrapped candies. But I can beat that. Shepherd got bored and started making condom balloon animals, while Rodney paced the distance out and carefully marked the landing places of each of Shepherd's shots. Look, Shepherd said brightly, holding out a white rubbery quadruped. It's a camel. Rodney rolled his eyes and took careful aim. The first shot came up even with Shepherd's farthest volley. Ha! Rodney exclaimed. The next fell short of Shepherd's shortest shot. Fluke, said Rodney, still confident. The third shot landed somewhere in the middle. Shepherd took the roll of tape and marked Rodney's shots, then paced them out and announced the results. Ha! Said Rodney. Our averages are, like, identical, said Shepherd, reaching the same conclusion at the same time. Ha! Said Rodney again. Rematch? Okay, said Shepherd, and pulled up the tape while Rodney collected the candies. The next match was close, but Rodney won by a narrow margin. Candle, said Rodney with relish. Meet John Shepherd's ass. Best 2 of 3, said Shepherd, eyes wide. Rodney agreed, but only because he was going to win so much that Shepherd was practically putting the candle up his own ass at this point. But that wasn't how it happened. Instead, Shepherd won the next round. The fourth and deciding match was tense, partly because Rodney didn't want to lose, and partly because, whatever happened, when it was over, they were going to have sex, and Rodney was kind of looking forward to that, even if it meant sacrificing his ironclad stance on condoms and asses. That's statistically very improbable, said Rodney, when the third match came up as a mathematical tie yet again. We need a more precise measuring system. I'm sure one of us technically won this time. Shepherd was busy making his fourth balloon masterpiece. He held it out to Rodney, grinning. Balloon Taylor, he said, pointing at the balloon figure's impressive chest area. Very clever, said Rodney. Come on, let's just blow each other and forget it, said Shepherd, tugging Rodney to his feet and hauling him towards the cot. Not without a condom, Rodney said. You could get gonorrhea in your throat. No, I couldn't, said Shepherd, and pushed Rodney to sit on the edge of the cot, because neither of us has gonorrhea, or syphilis, or space clap, or anything communicable or debilitating or gross. He pushed Rodney's knees apart and leaned in to where Rodney's traitorous cock was rising up to greet him. We do, however, have 44 hours left to kill and a whole week of abstinence to make up for. Ending a sentence with a preposition, said Rodney vaguely. I knew you were illiterate. You slutty, you... Oh, my God, yes. Shepherd went down and it felt... Rodney had never felt it before. The direct heat and wetness and velvety softness of Shepherd's throat closing around the head of his cock. Shepherd sighed, hummed, and started to move his head up and down, and Rodney could only hold on because this was so good, Rodney slurred, sounding drunk and not caring. He clenched his fingers in Shepherd's hair and held on tight. Shepherd pulled off, ignoring Rodney's protesting grunt, and said, "You can fuck my mouth if you want." Rodney wanted. He rarely did, so he nodded and licked away any possible drool in the corners of his mouth, and let Shepherd move them both so Rodney was straddling Shepherd's shoulders, and Shepherd angled Rodney's hips down and showed Rodney how to brace his hands on the wall behind the headboard, and then took Rodney in and gave a semi-comic, meaningful eye gesture, saying, "Get on with it." Rodney got on with it. It was impossible to think of unsexy things like venereal disease while fucking Shepherd's mouth. It was impossible to think at all, full stop. Rodney didn't really know then how a thought managed to break through the total barrier of mindless pleasure, but breakthrough it did. "What did you say?" gasped Shepherd, shoving Rodney off him. "I didn't say anything," Rodney insisted, lurching back to the hot heaven of Shepherd's mouth. "Yes, you did," insisted Shepherd. "You said you just remembered you have a few condoms in your shaving kit." "Oh my God," said Rodney, stunned. I do have a few condoms in my shaving kit." He licked his lips. "Did I say that?" "Yeah, you did," said Shepherd, mouth red and swollen and good-looking. "You said, 'Fuck Jesus, fuck, yes, I have some condoms in my shaving kit, take it, you slut,'" recited Shepherd, matter of fact. "I called you a slut?" Rodney said, shocked. "You always call me a slut," said Shepherd with a fond smile. "But back to the condoms." "Yes," said Rodney. "Look, I do have some. They're real condoms. I forgot I still had them from our last trade mission to M3R352. But can I please just—" He moved until his cock was brushing Shepherd's mouth. "Because that was just incredible. I mean, I think I was seeing other dimensions." Shepherd made a thoughtful, considering face. "I don't know," he said slowly, the movement of his lips teasing at Rodney's cock. "I really wanted you to fuck me. And I'm all..." He gestured down his body to his presumably hard cock. Shepherd always got hard when he blew Rodney. "Don't, please don't mess with me. I swear to God I'll..." "I might be persuaded," said Shepherd, pursing his lips in contemplation so they just happened to kiss the tip of Rodney's cock. "Oh, fuck, anything," said Rodney, "anything." Shepherd's eyes glinted with pleasure and his mouth twitched. "Say that my slingshot was better than yours," he ordered, and stretched out his tongue and licked Rodney. "God, it was way better than mine," said Rodney earnestly. "Now?" "Say," said Shepherd, pulling his tongue back, "say that you like my balloon animals." "I love them so much, I want them to suck my dick too," said Rodney, "just as soon as you're done here." "Hmm," said Shepherd, obviously pleased. "Say that I was right about oral being better without condoms." "So right," babbled Rodney. "So completely, totally right, I swear." "Say," said Shepherd, pulling his chin up and catching Rodney's gaze. He looked wild and debauched and abruptly deadly serious. "Say you trust me." "I trust you," said Rodney, feeling numb and flayed open at once. Shepherd opened up and took him down, making hot, encouraging noises, and all too soon, Rodney's brain whited out into the dizzying, lush throbbing of orgasm. "I trust you," Rodney said again, settling back on his heels and swaying a little with post-orgasmic goodwill. "I know," said Shepherd, all smiles, wiping his mouth with the back of his hand. "Just like to hear it once in a while." "Let me clarify. I don't trust you," said Rodney, shifting back, "when it comes to buying condoms." He settled one knee in the space between Shepherd's calves and used it to edge his legs further apart. "And I don't trust you to make informed decisions about unprotected sex when you're obviously too sex-addled to read the English language." "I wasn't addled," protested Shepherd, but he was smirking and soft-edged and pliant under Rodney. "I don't trust you," continued Rodney blithely, "not to cheat at making condom slingshots." "I don't trust you not to sneak two ammo candies when I'm not looking," Shepherd grinned crookedly. "I knew you'd notice that." Rodney got his other knee down between Shepherd's thighs and planted his hands on either side of Shepherd's hips, bringing his mouth level with Shepherd's cock. "I don't trust you to keep a poker face in front of the SGC surveillance cameras, so I always position you with your back to them." "Oh, and you're so convincing," huffed Shepherd. "You with your inappropriate hand gestures." "I do," Rodney said loftily, ignoring this blatantly untrue accusation. "I do, however, trust you with all the important stuff." He bowed his head, kissed Shepherd's cock softly. "You know, with my life and my various internal organs that connote emotional dependency." Shepherd laid his hand on Rodney's head, just gently agreeing. "Me too," he said. Then pushed down less gently. "Now, take it, slut." "Your balloon camel looked like it had an anal wart coming out its ass," said Rodney, and went down before Shepherd could protest that it was actually meant to be a tail. The end. This story was a nominee for the 2008 McShep Awards, and you can leave feedback for Too Much Plore at LiveJournal, which is toomuchplore.livejournal.com. As a final reader's note, I just want to say that I had to have umpteen goes at recording this because I kept falling apart laughing too much.